So I saw on TikTok, while we still have TikTok,
Rip.
that they are filming season 6 of What We Do in the Shadows, and it's going to be the final season.
Yeah.
I'm happy that they're going to get to end it on their terms, though. It's not like getting canceled or something.
Yeah, not like Our Flag Means Death.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bummer.
Or Kim's Convenience, too.
Yeah.
That one sucked because it was the writers walking away. Like, when they announced that cancellation for Kim's Convenience, everybody thought it was going to be Simu Liu, because that was, like, right after...
big career, yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, right... The last season was supposed to come out, like, after...
Shang-Chi?
Yeah, Shang-Chi. And so everybody was like, oh, okay, so he pulled, you know, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
And it's just not... But, like, the seasons had gone to the point where he couldn't just not be in the show like Chris Pratt could toward the end of Parks and Rec. And because he was about to be, like, a major player in the show again in Kim's Convenience. And then he was like, no, the writers were just like, we decided we're done and we're not going to do another season of it. I was like, what?
That's a bummer. I really liked that show.
It's so good.
If you haven't watched Kim's Convenience, highly recommend.
Yeah, I watched it on Netflix. I know it's other places too. It's very, very accurate to an Asian immigrant family experience coming to, like, the U.S. or Canada. I was watching it and I was like, I'm not even Korean, but, like, yeah. My dad did that. My dad also owned a convenience store and pulled the same shit.
Yep. Like, oh, man. Oh, what was the one, the martial arts episode was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I still, every time I see Hyundai.
Yes! AJ does that!
I think about how he would tow the Toyotas.
Yes! Yep. AJ, I don't remember where we were going to eat the other day, but he said there was a Toyota or a Hyundai or something there, and he made a comment, and I was like, oh my god! I haven't watched that show in so long, but it still hits.
Yeah. But yeah, very, very funny, very accurate to the immigrant experience, and that first generation of kids with the immigrant parents.
This is not something I know about personally, but I really still enjoyed the show. You okay?
Wow.
Look, the last time we started an episode and this situation happened was not good for us.
We were talking about the immigrant.
No, I said experience. So. I said I did not ever experience that situation personally, but it was a very enjoyable show.
Yeah, no, it was a super fun show. All of the side characters were really good too.
Oh, that's, yeah,
like a pretty
all the customers.
Yeah, it's like a pretty uncommon thing, but every
the
side
twins
character
that would come in and he would always get their names right or wrong, but he would tell you for sure that it was right.
Yeah,
love that.
That show
is good. This is a TV podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to The Strange and Unusual, where we discuss The Strange and Unusual. This is episode 184 of our series, seeking out the weird, the unexplained, and the devious from around the world. I'm Casey.
And I'm Roya.
This week's episode topic was decided by our Patreon members in our monthly poll, with last minute upset to Dancing Phalanges. Sorry. Anybody who voted for Dancing Phalanges as an option, that did not win. So instead, I'll be telling you about the various trials by ordeal used in the courts of medieval England and answering that age-old question, cake or death? As always, you can find us on social media. We are on X, Threads, Instagram, Facebook. Just look for our logo and various variations of our title, our name. All that information will be at the end of the episode as well as in the show notes. And as I mentioned, Patreon, patreon.com/strangeunusual. Come and let us know what you would like to hear about for April. It's a good time. We post a lot of snark and memes and shit in the Discord. It's fun. And
yeah,
it's just $2 a month. Come hang out with us. And again, if you write a review on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, we will read it out loud. That's still on the table, folks. Be mean to us. Give us 5 stars. We'll read it. The funnier, the better. So, are you ready to hear about Cake or Death?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, great. So, Wee-Woo's mentions of murder. Medieval torture methods. With minimal, but not zero, graphic descriptions, unfortunately. And just a whole lot of shoddy judicial systems. So, picture it. London, 1817. That May, Abraham Thornton was seen together with Mary Ashford at a party, and he allegedly offered to walk her home. The next morning, she was found drowned in a pit full of water. Thornton was charged with her murder, and while public opinion was heavily against him that August, he was found not guilty and was set free. But the public was not having it, and William Ashford, Mary's brother, filed for an appeal of murder. This is sort of like a civil case, defined as a, quote, procedure in English law to bring about prosecution by a private party of an individual accused of a heinous crime. And unlike a prosecution by the Crown, if someone was convicted during this appeal, the Crown did not have an option or, like, an ability to pardon that person. So, Thornton gets arrested again. And that November, when it was time for him to plea, he claimed, quote, not guilty, and I am ready to defend the same upon my body. Then, he put on one yellow leather glove, representative of a gauntlet, which was handed to him by his lawyer, and he threw the other at the foot of William Ashford for him to pick up, thus accepting the challenge. Ashford did not pick up the glove. He and his team were baffled. No one had claimed the right to trial by combat in England since 1638, but it had never been taken off the books, so Thornton was well within his legal rights to try his case with clubs and fists. The rules of battle stated that if the men fought and Thornton either won or remained unbeaten until the stars were visible, he would go free. But if he lost, he would be immediately hanged. Ashford's lawyer basically accused Thornton of trying to compound one murder by adding the murder of Mary's brother. But the Lord Chief Justice, Lord Ellenborough, whose name, by the way, was Edward Law, that I think that's hilarious. What do you do for a living, Mr. Law? Well, I happen to be a judge. A chief justice, in fact. But he responded, quote, it is the law of England. We must not call it murder. So keep in mind, the descriptions I found of Thornton said things like heavy set, and it ranged from things like a well-looking young fellow to, quote, of repulsive appearance.
Wow. That's a wide range.
He was known to be a brute. Yeah. I like to imagine Gaston, sort of.
But probably maybe a little less hot, yeah.
Yeah, not a hot Gaston. And the descriptions of William Ashford were, quote, a plain country young man with about 22 years of age, of short stature, sandy hair, and blue eye. He was a little bitch, is what they're trying to say. So Ashford's lawyer wrote, unless we can devise any means by argument to induce the court not to allow it, I am very apprehensive our poor little knight will never be able to contend the battle with this brutish opponent. When your fucking lawyer is like, this little bitch ain't gonna make it. A little rough.
Yeah.
The situation, however, was adjourned in April. William Ashford refused the challenge because fighting Thornton would have been suicide. And with no one to stand against him, Thornton walked free again. The practice of trial by combat originated in the Germanic tribes of Europe and was probably imported into England through the Norman conquest. For hundreds of years, trial by combat was one of the most popular methods in determining justice in certain cases. By the Middle Ages, two main types of these battles had emerged, those being the duel of law and the duel of chivalry. Duels of law were fought by civilians in cases both civil and criminal, anything from, like, your fence is 6 inches on my property, land rights style stuff, to felony charges like murder or rape or those sorts of things.
So a nice wide range.
Yes. Duels of chivalry were usually, but not always, fought by aristocrats, primarily with the allegation of treason. The idea of trial by combat working and actually, you know, settling who is innocent and who is not, was that God, in his infinite mercy and in omnipotence, would provide a verdict where humans failed to do so. So he would clinch the win for the victor. Their claim would be vindicated by the divine. There could be no appeal because God determined that you were the winner.
So you get that dub.
That's right. Proponents for the practice were convinced that God would intervene to guarantee that the innocent vanquished the guilty, because we all know there is a precedent set by Mr. David and Mr. Goliath, court of law. So, in trial by combat, the accused and accuser fight one another until one is incapacitated or dead. In some civil cases, making it to sundown, some people would say, like, start at dawn, but the real rule was just before noon, which is quite different than dawn. But
you just don't want to have an early morning. Yeah, you know,
I got shit to do. This, I have some errands to run. I'm not gonna make it at dawn. Can we try like noon? I'll be there at 10:45, actually.
Brunch. We gotta have time for brunch.
Yeah, we gotta fit in those Bloody Marys.
God would want it.
Yeah. So if the loser, if not killed, was hanged because God had now judged you guilty and you were going to be executed anyway. And if the accuser was not a person, but an organization like the government or something like that, then the champion was appointed to fight for said organization. Sometimes this champion was a freelance fighter. Other times it was a person who was a prisoner who was already sentenced to death. And there are some stories where if a prisoner was championing this organization, they could win their freedom by killing other people on trial. Like, if you won 5 times, you go free.
so very gladiator in that.
Oftentimes, women, children, the elderly, and the infirmed were excused from being involved in trial by combat, but not always. So that's kind of cool.
You could just fight a
little kid.
Punch themselves.
Stop hitting yourself.
Just appoint another 5-year-old.
That's right. A variety of weapons could be supplied, such as swords, maces, clubs. Somebody said a staff with a point on the end was an option. Like, cool, that's a spear. Sometimes you were allowed to wear a small amount of leather armor, but your head and your legs below the knees had to be exposed. Some references were made to gloves being available or a small leather shield. Other times your hair was shaved and you were thrown into combat with no armor at all. Just have fun. Duke it out, y'all.
I'll pick one of you up later.
Yep. But part of the process was that an oath was taken by the combatants that there would be no use of witchcraft or sorcery. And
well, damn, and that's no fun.
That's right. And then they were put into like a 60 square foot box, essentially like a ring. And then they would just battle it out. And if either combatant needed to, they could end the fight by shouting the word craven, which is a word that comes from the old French word for broken. And that ended the fight, and whoever shouted the word was the loser and probably died. Hopefully faster than the combat would kill them. I really wish Oberyn from Game of Thrones would have shouted craven and stayed alive. That would have been cool. I loved him.
Well, you know, he could have just not been overconfident and then won.
He
that
could have
fight.
Been, but we don't slander the name of Senor Pascal at this podcast.
I mean, it wasn't his fault that it happened. He did an excellent job dying.
He did. But trial by combat was just one of a number of options referred to as trial by ordeal, used during mostly the Middle Ages and early medieval. In a trial by ordeal, the accused was faced with a difficult, often painful, potentially fatal ordeal, which would, if successful, prove their innocence. Again, God's going to intervene on behalf of the innocent because that's how religion works. That's why no children ever die, right?
Never, ever. What is childhood cancer? I don't know her.
We don't know her. So the first recorded trial by ordeal I found dated back to the 6th century. It was like 510 AD, and it was a trial by cauldron. Hold on to your hats. An ancient Frankish practice, a cauldron was filled with boiling water.
Oh boy.
It was used against both freedmen and slaves in cases of theft, false witness, and contempt of court, in which the accused was made to plunge their right hand into a boiling cauldron and pull out a ring. In other versions, it's to retrieve a stone that's in the water. And sometimes, just for fun, they would use oil or molten lead instead.
Oh yeah, that would be really fun.
Yeah. Bishop Gregory of Tours described a Catholic saint who was able to spend an hour with their arm in the hot water seeking out the stone, but happily mentions that when the heretic tried, his skin was boiled off.
Sick.
Yes, in fact. This was found in Anglo-Saxon texts as early as 690, but was the only known mention until the 10th century. And based on laws written at the time of Anglo-Saxon king, King Athelstan, who ruled between 924 and 939, the water had to be close to boiling, and the depth of the water was determined by the severity of the crime, which could mean up to the wrist for lesser crimes, or to the elbow for more severe crimes. The ordeal would take place in a church with several people praying to God to reveal the truth. So when your hand was removed from the water, it would be bound, bandaged up, and then they would examine your hand after 3 days to see whether it was healing or what they say festering. So like if you're still openly oozing from your wounds. I said minimal graphic content.
That is a visual.
And that would determine your guilt. If you had signs of healing, God had said you're innocent. And if you are not healing because they wrapped up your grievously burned arm, then you were guilty and you were going to die with a super burned up arm. This practice lasted into the 12th century, primarily in remote Catholic churches. God had 3 days to heal your wounds or you're dead.
I mean, realistically, like, even with God in, like, involvement, I feel like some of these things are you're not coming back from.
Funny you say that.
Of religious benefit or not.
But there were some cold water trials as well.
Oh, good.
And they're older.
Are way better and much more friendly and gentle.
But these are way older than the 690, 10th century, you know, all these ones that I've just talked about, because the oldest known surviving code of laws, the Mesopotamian Code of Urnammu, was one of these, had a cold water trial in it, as well as the Babylonian Code of Hammurabi. The Code of Urnammu states that the man, or, you know, the accused of this person would be accused of what was translated as sorcery, and they would have to undergo this ordeal. And if he was proven innocent, the accuser was obligated to then pay 3 shekels to the accused, which I guess is better than nothing. I did try to figure out how much that was worth. From a very quick Google search, 3 shekels would have been a little more than an ounce of silver, but I can't tell you what the inflation is for that. I did try. Then the Code of Hammurabi states that if a man was accused of a matter by another, he was supposed to leap into a river, and if he survived, he was acquitted. The accuser would then be put to death instead, and the accused got to then move into the deceased accuser's house. Just sick. Like, hell yeah. I not only survived, I got a new house. I'm a property owner. This practice was again used by the Franks as well, but it was abolished by Emperor Louis the Pious in 829. Then another trial by cold water popped back up in the late Middle Ages when a Frankfurt man was accused of poaching. He was to be submerged in a barrel 3 times, and if he sank, he was innocent. If he floated, he was guilty. Now, I'm sure Roya knows this, and listeners, if you are at all familiar with the witch hunts, this is a familiar tactic. The accused had their arms tied and were thrown into a body of water. Mm. Ordeal by water, often used with witch hunts in the 16th and 17th century. If the accused sank, they were considered innocent, but floating indicated witchcraft. One common belief was that they would float because they had renounced their baptism, because they entered service with the devil. That's one that sort of lingered for a while. As far as I could find, there was a witch trial as recently as 1728 that used this method. There's actually a street around where I live that's Witch Duck, because that was where they ducked witches.
I thought it was going to be like a duck with a witch hat on.
Well, that's what I like to think of, but
that's what I would put out, like, on my yard if I lived on that. It'd be a little duck with a witch hat year-round.
So, historically, trials by hot and cold water were two of the 4 most common trials by ordeal used by the Anglo-Saxons. The third trial was trial by fire, specifically a trial of hot iron, which is just as horrible as it sounds.
Yeah, anyway, you involve hot iron, it's going to be bad.
Usually reserved for women accused of a crime.
Oh, good.
The trial required that the accused walk a certain distance, while holding rods of red hot iron. The weight of the crime determined the weight of the iron you were made to carry. Again, you were either shown to be innocent because God didn't let the fire burn you, or he healed your wounds in 3 days, and if your wounds festered, you were exiled or put to death. There's another version that I saw of this trial by fire, which is that they would heat up plowshares, the blades that they used for plowing. And so you had to walk across these blades. The most famous story is of 11th century Queen Emma of Normandy, who was accused of adultery with a bishop, no doubt. What? But she was magically able to walk across these burning plowshares without injury.
Hmm.
So, magical, obviously.
No,
God intervened.
Jesus magic. The Lord's magic.
But the last of the common trials is the far more appetizing trial by cake. Now, this ain't no funfetti, okay? Don't get it twisted.
I was about to say, like, trial by cake. Go on.
Trial by cake, or trial by host, was an actual ritual that was detailed in Anglo-Saxon law as corsned, also called the accursed or sacred morsel, or the morsel of execration. Sorry, that's a hard word to say. Execration. The term dates back to before 1000 AD, mentioned in the laws of Ethelred II and the ecclesiastical laws of Canute the Great. It involved the accused eating a piece of barley bread and cheese, totaling about an ounce in weight, consecrated with a form of exorcism as a trial of innocence. So the bread would allegedly produce convulsions, paleness, and cause choking. So if the accused had choked at all on this dry-ass piece of bread and cheese, they were guilty. If innocent, it was believed the bread would go down smooth and turn into nourishment. British writer and scholar Isaac Disraeli states that the bread was made from unleavened barley and the cheese was made of ewe's milk, quote, in the month of May. Had to be May, or it's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May.
Oh, press the space button. Does that go up or down? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Are we okay?
Yeah, no, I just pressed the space button on accident and it moved my notes and I couldn't find where I was. So a priest would weigh out the bread. It was 10 pennyweights worth, which is a measurement that equals about one. I think a pennyweight is 1.555174 grams. A raisin is about a gram, if that gives you an idea. So this was like 10 raisins worth of bread and the same amount of cheese. It was like 1.6 raisins of bread and 1.6 raisins of cheese.
What
times
a
10.
Good measurement.
Times 10. Anyway, so the priest wrote the Lord's Prayer on the bread. Who knows how he wrote this on this little tiny piece of bread?
It's mustard.
No, it's dry. No mustard allowed. But the accused placed their foot on a poplar wood cross. Another cross was held above their head, and the priest would recite a conjuration and exorcism that I will not put you all through while the person tried to swallow this piece of bread.
This tiny piece of bread.
This method was typically used for accused priests, but the most interesting story I could find was actually a potential forgery. So might not be real, but it's still cool. I'm going to tell you about it. And that was of Godwin, Earl of Wessex, who was said to have been given the trial in 1053 while denying that he played any role in the 1036 death of Edward, brother of King Edward the Confessor. He was like, I didn't fucking do it. Watch me. And then he choked to death on a piece of bread.
I mean, it's a dry ass piece of bread.
I would choke too, bro.
And like, given the time period, it was probably a real dry ass piece of bread.
So,
oh my god, my neighbors.
Yeah? Are they causing a ruckus?
They're hammering.
I don't hear anything. That's helpful.
Oh, I see it.
Oh, nuts. The only three rules I could find... Oh, I'm sorry. I missed a whole section. Never mind. I'm going back.
Okay.
Going back to the witch hunts, there were also stories of the witch's cake. Have you heard of the witch's cake?
It sounds familiar.
Actually. Well, tell me if this sounds familiar. By the Salem witch trials in 1692, a witch's cake was key in the first accusations of witchcraft. A cake or biscuit was made with rye flour and the urine of the afflicted person, which was then fed to a dog because dogs are believed to be a common familiar associated with the devil. And if the dog exhibited the same symptoms of illness, it provided the presence of witchcraft. It said, yes, this has happened. And then the dog somehow points out the offending witch.
That seems correct.
I feel like this dog's a fucking narc, for one. Two, why you just fed pee to a dog?
Like, yeah, if these dogs were in league with the devil, why would they tell you who was also in league with the devil? That seems counterintuitive.
Well, it's a, yeah, it's a wild, wild, wild west out here in witch hunting town. Well, so the only three rules I could find that really took part of a trial by ordeal were that, one, a priest had to be present because God is deciding the guilt. So, like, priest has got to be there to be like, yeah, that's what God said. The accused, the second rule was that the accused would spend 3 days prior at a holy site like a church or a monastery where they would pray and fast in preparation for the trial. And the third rule was that they had to attend mass before they were tried in case they got killed. And these certainly are not the only trials by ordeal to determine guilt, only the ones that were the most common in England at the time. A bonus trial by fire to celebrate Persian Heritage Month, comes from ancient Iran, where trials were held with those accused of lying or being in breach of contract, being forced to pass through fire, or having molten metal poured on their chest.
That sounds survivable.
There were about 30 different trial by fire tests that you could be a part of, at least according to the Encyclopedia Iranica, which I loved getting to cite, let me tell you. Quote, the mildest form of such ordeals required the accused to take a solemn oath, and as he did so, to drink a potion containing sulfur, a fiery substance which it was thought would burn him inwardly if he committed perjury. If the accused died, they were they were fucking guilty. They died, obviously. Who dies from molten metal being poured on their chest? What a loser. Clearly guilty. But if they survived, they were innocent, having been protected by Mithra and the other gods. Happy Persian Heritage Month, Roya.
I'm relieved it was just on their chest.
What, you don't want a crown moment from Game of Thrones? We referencing Game of Thrones a lot here.
Yeah, a lot today.
Crown. Certain parts of West Africa had trials by poison to identify guilt, wherein the accused would swallow an incredibly toxic caliber bean. The caliber bean contains an alkaloid? Wow, can't say that word today. That acts like a nerve gas, influencing communication between the nerves and muscles and resulting in copious salivating, seizures, loss of control of the bladder and bowels, and eventually loss over the control of your respiratory system, causing death by asphyxiation.
Wow. What a way to go. Yeah,
really fucked up. So if you vomit, you're innocent. Otherwise, you're dead. guilty.
One of the things that I always thought was funny about the, like, the trial by water with the witch ducking, it was just like, you know, you float, we kill you. You sink, you die. It's, you know.
But at least you're innocent.
At least you're going to heaven.
Yeah, that's right. The penalty of the peach was an ancient ordeal that involved peach pits, which contain a compound that gets metabolized into cyanide. So that one's fun. There's the trial by diving that was most common in Southeast Asia and India to settle disputes over cockfights, which were popular at the time. So two poles were secured at the bottom of a clear pond. The two parties involved would send representatives to dive into the pond and grasp the poles. Whoever could stay underwater the longest was considered the honest party with truth on his side, and he would win whatever was at stake. Not usually, you don't usually die for this one, thankfully.
Usually.
I mean, you might drown. Trial by snake involved a cobra being put in a clay pot with a ring. It's similar to the cauldron. You stick your hand in. If you get bit, you're dead. If you get the ring, you're innocent. Trial by blood. The corpse of the victim was placed on a small platform. Then each person who was suspected of murder would touch the body. And it was believed that the true murderer touching the body would make the wounds start to bleed. If the wound did not bleed when touched, that suspect was declared innocent, which clearly worked every time.
Yeah.
Obviously, as a civilization advanced, it would become less and less acceptable to, I don't know, combat each other over silly disputes, and trials by ordeal eventually started to fizzle out for the most part. The English courts learned their lesson from the Thornton and Ashford case, and the right to trial to right to trial by combat was abolished in 1819 by Attorney General Samuel Shepard with the Trial by Battle Abolition Bill. Catchy name. However, in 2002, a 60-year-old man by the name of Leon Humphreys went to court and invoked the ancient right to trial by combat. According to the Telegraph, Humphreys told the court that it was, quote, his right to fight a championship, or, his right to find a champ. I'm going to start over. I'm going to take a little sip of my tea.
Yeah.
I'm going to start this line over.
You do that, baby. We've all been there.
According to the Telegraph, Humphreys told the court that it was, quote, his right to fight a champion nominated by the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Agency, or the DVLA, was still valid under European human rights legislation. He said it would have been reasonable as a way to settle this matter. The matter, you ask? A 25-pound fine for what they called a, quote, minor motoring offense.
I should put him in there with an MMA fighter.
He offered to fight with samurai swords, Gurkha knives, and heavy hammers, but the magistrates disagreed and did not think that that was the way to go, unfortunately.
Shocking. And
he ended up paying £300 to the court instead in court fees. Quote, I was willing to fight a champion put up by the DVLA, but it would have been a fight to the death, Leon Humphreys. And that, my friends, is the story of Trials by Ordeal. And I hope you enjoyed.
That was a lot of ordeals.
There was a lot of ordeals.
Which one's your favorite?
Oh, I don't... You know, I was really... I think I initially was really put off by the cauldron one. And I don't want to say it's my favorite, but it is kind of the one that stuck with me the most. If I had to go, I would say give me the bread, obviously. Like cake. I'll take cake.
Yeah.
Let's go. I love cake. I love cheese. What could go wrong?
Yeah, it's just 10 reasons.
I'm just gonna it's well, now I want to like actually do the math. All right, so 1.6 raisins for bread, 1.6 raisins for cheese times 10, 32 raisins worth.
Oh my god. I don't know if I could eat that much.
Yeah,
that's a tremendous amount of bread and cheese.
Although I think I could probably dive pretty good. I have a lot of lung capacity from my singing days. I could hold my breath for a long time.
I could.
You have asthma.
Yeah.
You would die.
I also can't. I don't know how to dive. So
that's fair.
I know how to swim, but I don't know how to like dive or go under.
If you heard that, that was just me spanking Jackson. He's sitting in my lap. He needs a little spank. But yeah, how about you?
I mean, I think like if I was in the situation, yeah, the cake.
My situation cake.
Well, if I was, I didn't realize you said Mike. I thought you said like you were making fun of me, and then I realized.
Yeah.
But I think that the human capacity to want to harm one another.
Ooh, right.
Is just baffling.
Hey, let's not do a jury. I have a better idea. Let's dump their hand in a cauldron full of boiling water, oil, or lead.
Yeah, like how? What are you boiling lead? Like oil would be bad enough.
Have you seen the fucking video of the guy who's just like in scooping out the things for that he's deep frying?
I think so.
Oh, it's horrifying.
Well, like my uncle had nerve problems and he couldn't feel like temperature on his hands.
Yeah.
Like from like elbow down, I want to say he couldn't feel like heat or cold or anything. And he would do shit like that. Like they had to get onto him and be like, just because you can't feel it doesn't mean it's not hurting you.
Yeah. You don't feel the hurt, but it's your body still hurting.
Yeah. It worked out once. So one time they had those ovens that were like separate and in the wall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so they were making, it was like one of those Stouffer's lasagnas. I don't know why my family loved those. I never liked them, but.
Not me neither.
They always would get them. And my aunt went to open it and somehow it shifted and like came forward and was like falling out of the oven, like mm-hmm. into her. And my uncle just grabbed it and threw it in the oven. But because he couldn't feel the heat or anything, he was like, I mean, one of us is going to end up being burned. At least I can't feel it.
Right. Like, what a hero.
Yeah. And it was just like, but like lead, mm-hmm. like, wouldn't it harden on your hand? Am I wrong? Like as soon as you pulled it out, it would start to harden on your hand is my brain and how that would work. That's what happened in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. The Ren Faire has a medieval torture device museum, the Ren Faire that I go to. Uh-huh. The boot, the iron boot that they would just pour the molten fucking liquid lava fucking metal into.
Nah, man.
The bowl. Like, the way that we have... Jackson, why'd you just bite me? Are you telling me you're a medieval torture device? Did you see him? Don't be on my lap if you don't want me to touch you. Damn.
Maybe he was a torturer in his past life.
That's what I was saying. He's like, I like the fucking iron boot, bitch.
Or he got tortured and he is like, please stop making me relive this terrible thing.
I will stop. But yeah, that like the bowl one, oh god, that gets me every time. I don't want to hear about it.
I don't know that
they
one.
They put you in a metal bowl and then they light it on fire underneath and you're just like roasting.
Oh, like bowl. A brazen bowl.
Yeah.
Or the bronze bowl or whatever.
The bronze bowl. That's what I was like, well, I don't like it.
Yeah, no.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The pear that they put up your butt. Yep.
That they put up your butt. The delivery of that was very good.
Yeah, people are fucked up.
And
so, like, obviously that's not to say that people don't still try to solve their problems with violence.
Yeah.
It's just that we legally don't really do that anymore.
I mean.
For the most part.
Free Palestine.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
Yeah. I mean, just more of like man's inhumanity to man. I will never understand like being in the headspace to want to do that. You know, like defending mm-hmm. yourself or whatever is one thing, but like to seek out the ability to do harm on someone else, I just, mm-hmm. I'm, it's not there for me.
Yep.
Which I'm happy about. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. But.
What do you mean you don't want to understand the violence of man? It is men, though. Like, there are some women, obviously. Yeah. But, like, let's talk about the discrepancies in numbers here.
And it's quite often white men of color. Or white men of color? White men. White men of no color.
Eminem.
Anyway, thanks for joining us today as we discuss these historical trials by ordeal. And now we want to hear from you. Send your stories, your questions, and your feedback to strangeunusualpodcast@gmail.com. If you're sending a story, we just ask that you put listener story in the subject line so you can sort through those a little more easily. Do you have a favorite medieval torture device?
Has your grandfather ever gone to court and asked for trial by combat against the DMV? I want to know.
Oh god, I want to know about that. Please.
As we said at the top of the episode, you can find us on Instagram and Threads at strange_unusual_podcast or on our personal accounts, Roy Rampage and Calamity Casey. You can find us on X @_strangeunusual, @CalamityCasey, and @RoyRampage. And we are on Facebook. Just search for the Strange Unusual Podcast. You'll look for our logo and find us there. And again, Roya is on Twitch, twitch.tv/RoyaRampage. No longer on Kick, from what I understand.
Nope.
But you can find her VODs also on YouTube. So just check her out when you get a chance. Yeah, it's a good time. Other than that, you can find us over on patreon.com/strangeunusual, where you can vote on episodes just like this one. At the beginning of every month, we will have a poll that you can vote on and let us know what you would like for us to talk about based on some options we give you. We also have some old bonus episodes, some old rants. An episode where I just read you a smutty story written by Chad Daybell. Maybe I should find some more like criminal smut just to read out loud. But it's just $2 a month. You can join us over there, get access to our Patreon exclusive Discord, and that is again patreon.com/strangeunusual. But if you cannot afford to, I was trying to think of a different word and then I was like, to support us financially, we just ask that you like, rate, review, Share us with your friends. Share us with your enemies. Share us with the people that you plan to put through a trial by ordeal. And if you give us a 5-star review and you want us to read it out loud, because consent is sexy, we will read that out loud on the air in the episode just for you.
I mean, not just for you. You won't be the only one that hears it, but like,
but we're doing it, Jeff.
Yeah.
But everybody will be able to benefit from it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. I said exactly.
I didn't see you. You keep cutting out really weird when you like start to talk, and then it'll catch up. So
oh, sometimes weird.
I don't hear you. Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm kind of off the plot now, so I should probably go.
Okay, bye.
Bye.